Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Don, for leading those songs. We have a couple of prayers that we would like to mention before we get started. A friend of Don's, their sister-in-law, is in the hospital and is having surgery today up in St. George, and he's requested prayers for them. Her name is Melanie. Having problem getting food in and digested. She's down to 95 pounds. Don't know what she started at, but having trouble and having surgery today. Also, Dick mentioned that Valon's grandfather passed away this past week from COVID, and we need to. Oh, excuse me. Was it a grandfather passed away? Don't know what it was from, but. We need to remember him at this time. And also, Josiah sent in a note that his mom, Jessica, has a broken wrist and is in a cast for the next 3 to 5 weeks. And he is requesting prayers for her, that she's not in a lot of pain and so forth. So let's go to God in prayer before we get started. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong that are not pleasing to you. Dear God, we come right now on behalf of some people close to us. We ask that you be with Melanie. As she's facing surgery today, we hope that the surgery will be what is needed to help her. We ask that the doctors be with them and let them know exactly what to do and the best medicines and so forth. We pray for her recovery. We also pray for Jessica as she's recovering from a broken wrist. Those can be painful. We hope that it heals properly and that you'll be with her during this time of recuperation. We also ask that you be with Valon and his family on the loss of a grandfather. Any loss is tough. We pray that they can find peace in you and your word. Dear God, again, we thank you for everything that you do for us. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Got a couple of announcements real quick before we get into our lesson. Want to thank, I just thank the congregation for all the work that is done here every week. Whether it's the cleaning up, whether it's the preparing communion, a number of the ladies have kind of spruced up our bulletin boards out there, and those look good. We've got Sean and some others have created a Barnabas board out there. Barnabas was known as the son of encouragement, and you might want to look on that. You might have some notes up there. Take those down. Put them on your mirror at work, you know, or at home, and or take them to work with you. Put them on your desk to be encouraged during the week. And if you can think of something to say to somebody else, put one up there, and it will make their day. We thank the people that have put those together. We also thank, I think Spencer, Carolyn, and Stacy were part of these little pin holders on the backs of the seats. They cranked those out the other day, and they look great. And you cannot imagine how many pins were laying down in the bottoms of those pockets. So anyway, be careful with them. It's just made out of felt. They're not welded or anything. So just be careful with them. Spencer is going to be updating the directory soon. And so if you've got a different phone number, different address, if you've been visiting here and have decided that you want to identify and be counted as part of us, by all means, let's do so. Spencer will be updating those. If your picture, you're holding an infant baby and now they're taller than you, it might be time to update your picture, but get that done. She's going to be updating those by December 5th. And so after that, forever hold your peace. You got a couple weeks. Dick is collecting donations that he'll be sending to Vallon in the next few weeks, so make sure you see him. Also, there are envelopes in the foyer, and they're labeled the Naomi Kids Clothing Program. Every year at Christmas, we always gather some money and are able to buy bales of clothes for those kids over there that and send them to David Marub, the missionary there, and he distributes clothes for the kids. So that will be a good program. It always amazes me that whenever we find out of a need, how above and beyond our congregation is with helping that. Let's get into our lesson. It's always easy to preach sermons. I mean, there's always the fear of getting up in front of people, but the sermons on the love of God, those are easy. That God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, those are easy to preach. The fact that we can be saved, you know, that when we put our Lord on in baptism, that it washes away our sin, those are easy sermons to preach. We're going to look now, it's probably easier to hear than realizing sometimes the cost of sin. These are some verses that are kind of sobering, eye-opening. And there is a cost of sin. It's not just one of those things that lingers now and you don't have to put up with it down the road. You're always going to have to pay that cost. There's consequences for sin. There's physical. And we will look at this. These are studies that the church is not involved in. But there are studies that people that attend worship services that call themselves Christians, they are healthier. They live longer. They have less stress. Do stress affect us? Yeah. We have less stress because the peace of God that passes all understanding, we have. Not only the stress, the high blood pressure, the physical actions of sin that may be detrimental to our health can cause death. There's the consequences with our trust and reputation. You know, it takes a long time to build up your integrity. It takes a long time, and it takes that long to destroy it. It takes a moment to wipe out that trust that you've built up, the integrity of your reputation. And then there's the main consequences that we're going to look at, the spiritual consequences, the fact that you can lose your soul. Mm-hmm. You know, and there is a hell. And we sometimes, we know that, but we kind of minimize that. We kind of think of hell as a storybook. It's oh, it's bad, and bad people will go, but not me. And we need to remember these for the cost of sin. Physically, There's health effects that come with sin. The bad behaviors and the risky behaviors, whether it be, you know, from drinking or drugs that wreak havoc on your body. The risk of pregnancy, the risk of sexually transmitted diseases, death. You see people all the time dying in a drunk driving accident. How bad it would be to cost the life of somebody else on something like that. We see that in the papers all the time. There are consequences. Sometimes we kind of minimize sin thinking because there maybe aren't the physical immediate consequences. It may take a while to catch up. But sometimes there's physical consequences. Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." Just by the way we conduct our lives can either bring us longer, healthier, happy, fulfilled lives, or could possibly cut it short. There's the trust and reputation aspect. I want us to look at the effects, the consequences to Paul in just a moment. That even though Paul repented of sin and changed, the consequences of his sins followed him for a while. The ruined relationships through sin, whether it be lying, gossip, breaking a marriage covenant, the ruined relationships that can destroy a relationship, the legal aspects, embezzle money at work. You do something that your trust and reputation, you forfeit that. Sometimes there's legal consequences that you could wind up in prison. In Acts 9, we see the effects that was following Paul. Ananias was sent to teach Paul. And it says, "Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name.'" Paul's changed. That reputation was following him. Even though he had repented, "I'm a changed man," the consequences of his actions still were with him. And I'd like us to focus the rest of the lesson, because those are things, as bad as those other consequences are. And there are, when you face physical things due to your actions that are sinful, or maybe even sinful from somebody else, you can get in a wreck from somebody else sinning. You can be affected by somebody else's sin or the loss of your reputation. But the spiritual has so many more deeper, long-lasting consequences for eternity. The separation from God, our loss of salvation that should be so dear to us. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, it reads, "But your iniquities," your sin, "have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Could you imagine getting to a point in life where you're pleased to God are just ignored. Based from your iniquities, the sin in your life. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. We've looked at this verse a number of different in a number of different lessons. Paul wrote, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" It is pretty clear there. And he goes on to say, "Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." There's not a lot of wiggle room there. Well, he really doesn't mean it. He was talking an idiom of the day. It only applied to the people in Corinth. There's not a lot of wiggle room here. In Ephesians 5, Paul also wrote to the Ephesians, "For this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man," who is an idolater. We don't think of being an idolater as that way, being covetous. When we covet things, where your heart is. And not God. "Nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. When we're disobedient, we are separated from God." Hebrews 10:26. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." I always love those verses about the sacrifice that God has given us. The love, and, you know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." I love those verses. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice." Proverbs 1 verse 10 reads, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Wise words there. Wise words. Oh, they all are. Proverbs 6, this is something that, you know, a lot of times we as people think, "Oh, I can handle things. I can walk that fine line. I can handle it." There's a question here. It's kind of a rhetorical question. You already know the answer. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not get burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? You know, those are dumb questions. You can't play with sin. We can't do it. Nobody can. It's like trying to juggle chainsaws. You know, it's not a if a problem happens, it's when it's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 10:12, I think this was read this morning. "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." We don't want to walk that tightrope of sin. We don't want to walk that fine line. This is safe. Try to get up as close to the line as we can and not cross over. Because sometimes we don't see the line. Sometimes we get so close to sin, we don't see it. In Acts 2:38, Peter, the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, people had been convicted of the sin. His message to the crowd was, this Jesus whom you crucified, he was Lord and Savior. And when they realized that, in verse 37, they said, men and brethren, it says they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. They were beside themselves. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter gave them the remedy, gave them the answer for that. Then Peter said to them, repent. Repent. Turn from it. You don't want, just because you sinned, you don't have to stay in sin. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This one verse says so much. It tells us what to do, repent and be baptized, tells us how, in the name of Jesus Christ, and the why, for the remission of sins. Not to join the church. We see in just a few verses later that the Lord adds you to the church. You're not doing it to join. You don't get a decoder ring and a special handshake. You're added to the church when you are baptized. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Back, we had read 9 and 10 about all of those people that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul says, and such were some of you. You were some of those people. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now it's kind of brightening up a little bit. You don't have to stay in that state. You don't have to stay in those conditions. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. One of the best good news verses and happy verses in the Bible, that if we're doing what we need to do, we continue to get cleansed by that blood. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's the consequence, the cost of sin. We know three chapters earlier in Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, three chapters later, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You've heard the old saying, pay me now or pay me later. We have to pay. One way or the other, we have to pay the cost of sin. There is either the cost of discipline now or the cost of regret later. And the passage that Chris read earlier for our scripture reading, 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Paul says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I'm not just going through the motions, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. There's going to be a cost. Wouldn't you rather pay the cost of discipline now than the cost of consequences of sin later? It's a high price. And the cost of sin is something you don't want to have to pay. And there's no getting around it. We can either pay now in this life with discipline and obedience, or later on with being separated by God. This is not one of those good, warm, fuzzy, feel-good sermons. But we need these once in a while. If you need to respond to the invitation, you can do so as Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.